Good morning. I'm so excited to share this word with you. I think it's going to be relevant for all of us as we talk about the subject of I can't wait. So the gospel reading today, the reason I chose this as the gospel reading today is because so many times we worry about the tomorrows, right? We worry about what's to come, and we have fears and apprehensions about the future, and might be financial or relational or physical or spiritual, whatever it is. We have worries about tomorrow. And as Pastor Tim was saying, the focus for today is today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in that day and be glad. So Matthew 6, 25 to 34 says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather together in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So, the subject today that we want to talk about is, I was made to worship. But you're probably thinking, no, another worship sermon where Pastor Dave kind of tells us we should be in God's house on a regular basis. I get that. That's not what this sermon is about today. What I'm going to be teaching you today through the power of the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is to make the most of every day that God gives us and to worship God on a daily basis. And as much as in you lies by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, to eliminate these words in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, these three words. I can't wait. In 1982, I had just returned from Vicarage, and I had a wonderful Vicarage experience. Norm Bangert in Fairbury, Nebraska, Grace Lutheran Church, great guy, great congregation. And people, when you're on Vicarage, how many of you remember when we had vicars here at Peace? Raise your hand. Yeah, we kind of spoil them, right? We're not very critical. They're just learning. We kind of overlook their mistakes and their shortcomings, and, you know, we don't criticize them a lot. That's the kind of vicarage I had. It was wonderful. And now I got back to the seminary, and I use these words many times the last 7 or 8 months of school at the seminary. I can't wait to get out in the parish. I wish I wouldn't have said that. Because after about 2 weeks of being in the parish, I wanted to become a mailman. Some of you know that story. Yeah, it was horrible. The beginning of my ministry was very, very difficult, very challenging. My dad never told me what the ministry is really like, how you're taking shots all the time, how people criticize you no matter what you do. He didn't tell me any of that stuff. So I wanted to go back to the seminary and live in the glory days and be responsible just for me. And so those words, I can't wait, got me in trouble. Do the words, I can't wait, sometimes get you in trouble? I can't wait to be in school, or I can't wait to get out of school, or I can't wait when I'm in college, or I can't wait till I get out of college and get a career, or I can't wait until I find the woman or man of my dreams and I get married, or I can't wait now that we're married until we have kids, or I can't wait until the kids are finally in kindergarten and I can have some free time, or I can't wait until the kids are finally leaving and going off to college and we're empty nesters, or I can't wait until I get a promotion at work, or I can't wait until my boss changes, or I can't wait until I move away from this job, or I can't wait until we downsize, or I can't wait until we move to a larger home. I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait until I retire. I can't wait until I have more leisure time. I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. And do you know what the words "I can't wait" does? Those words make us have kind of a dissatisfaction with the stage of life that we're in, thinking that the next stage of life will be so much more satisfying, and that may be or may not be true. Do you see how the words "I can't wait" can really get us in trouble? Because it causes us to miss what God is doing at the present time, to miss the blessings and the pleasures that God fills our lives with at the current time. When we're so focused on "I can't wait," we're missing all that's right in front of us. And the text tells us that so very clearly today. The text is Psalm 118, verses 22 to 24. And I would venture to say that many of you have verse 24 memorized, but you may not know the context of verse 24, and I'm going to teach you that today. Let's look at verse 22. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Now, in that context, when this was written, the Israelites, the people of God, were the stone that the builders around them had rejected. Even though Israel, the people of God, the chosen nation of Israel, were God's chosen people, all the nations around them ostracized them and persecuted them and didn't look up to them and rejected their leadership. Even though all those communities had an opportunity to come to know God and to come to know Christ and be infiltrated as part of the Jewish community, they rejected that. They rejected the Jewish nation. They didn't believe that the Jewish nation was really God's chosen people. And so verse 22 tells us that the stone, namely Israel, that the builders rejected, all the nations around them, has become the cornerstone. Now, later, that was fulfilled in Jesus as Messiah, that the cornerstone of the Israelite nation was Jesus Christ. And verse 22 has a dual meaning. You see, in Jesus' day, who rejected Jesus as Messiah? The religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, the Sadducees, scribes, and Pharisees. They didn't believe that Christ was the Son of God and Messiah, and so they relegated him to a common criminal's cross, executing him on Good Friday. But that was the will of God, that God would use those people to crucify his own dear Son. And his own dear Son loved you so much that he was willing to do that very thing to win salvation and eternal life for all of us. Even though Jesus, the cornerstone of our faith, was rejected by the Jewish leaders, he has become the very cornerstone for us. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. What's the Lord's doing? Dispatching Jesus to this world, having him be crucified on the cross for our sins, rising again from the dead, so that when we repent of our sin, and what's the big sin today? A dissatisfaction with where we're at in life. Disapproval of the things that God is doing in this current day. Always wanting more, always looking for tomorrow. Jesus Christ laid down his life for that. And because he paid the penalty for that sin on the cross and then triumphed over the grave 3 days later to guarantee eternal life to all those who believe, why is verse 24 say what it says? Or verse 23, look at it. Verse 23, read it with me. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What's the Lord's doing? Salvation, forgiveness, the presence of God, the peace of God, the consolation of God, the comfort of God, the pardon of God. This is the Lord's doing. Salvation is what God has done for us. And we can rejoice every day in this relationship we have with God. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? In this we find our joy. In this we find our peace. In this we find our consolation and comfort, knowing Jesus
having a relationship with Jesus, being comforted by the forgiveness of sins. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, every day we wake up, we can say verse 24, that another day that we rise up to honor the King, to believe in Jesus, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, is another day to find great joy and peace in Him. Read verse 24 with me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Are you asking so many times, I can't wait, about the future, that you can't celebrate what God is doing in your life right now, the stage of life that you're in right now? Are you so focused on tomorrow that you can't rejoice in today? Here's the big point, and I'd encourage you to write it down. Today's big point, don't be so focused on the future that you can't be thankful for, learn from, and enjoy the present. Does that resonate? Can I get an amen? Do you find yourself sometimes being so fixed on the I can't waits of life that you can't do that? Guilty as charged, man. Raise your hand if you're guilty of that. Hey, man, I can't wait until tomorrow. I can't wait until this. My life will be so much better. No, God is saying, look what I've done for you now. Rejoice in my presence now. Experience the joy of knowing me now. See what I'm doing in your life now. And that's the thing. That's the challenge. I want you to think about, what is God doing in your life right now? What lessons is He teaching you? What pleasures is He giving you? What blessings is He bestowing upon you? What is a constant in your life that is consistent? Here it is. Don't miss it. Here's the constants of your life, no matter what day you have, no matter what you're experiencing. These are the constants of your life. God loves you. You're His. You're forgiven. You're His child. He is for you. He is by you. He is with you. He won't forsake or abandon you. Those are the constants of life. And does that not make every day a great day? Does it not? Can I get an amen? Amen? Every day you wake up, you're waking up in the presence of Jesus. Every day you walk, you're walking beside the Lord Jesus. Every day you have another conflict, Jesus will see you through. We've talked about this over and over and over again. Because you have a relationship with God, every day is a good day. Amen? Every day. That's why this says, rejoice. It says, let's go ahead and look back at it. This is a day, read it with me, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we worship Jesus by praising Him every day with our lips, thanking Him every day with our heart, giving Him our life every day. How many of you have been to car washes, by the way? Been to a car wash recently? What's the one up on 64th? I've told you about this. And one on 64th I love. I used to go to that one when we were living here. Now we have a car wash in Longmont that's a lot like this, where you get to stay in the car. Don't you love it when you can be so dang lazy and just sit in the car, go through the thing, and you're done? Isn't that awesome? How many of you love that? Raise your hand, man. I think that's awesome. You don't have to get out of the car. You just pay the money. The little gate opens. Woo! You know, and you come around the corner, and there, what a cushy job, you know. Although it'd get boring, there's that person going like this. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, yeah. You know what God is saying? Would you turn me down, Bob? I'm going to get loud. You know what God is saying? He's saying this to you right now, in your circumstances, where you're at. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. Stop. You're good. Let go of the wheel. Put it in neutral. Let go of the wheel of your life. Put it in neutral. That means trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. That means every day that you get up, you say, this is another day to glorify and honor and live for you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to praise you with my lips. I'm going to thank you in my heart. I'm going to give you my life because this day belongs to you. So what would your life look like? Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. This is really important what I'm about to tell you. Did you know that the only time the words I am looking forward to or I can't wait for are used in Scripture are in three contexts? None of it has to do with careers. None of it has to do with college. None of it has to do with marriage or all the stuff that we think is so incredibly important. The only time the words I can't wait or I am looking forward to are used in Scripture are in three contexts. The first one was the people of the Old Testament. We're so looking forward to the Messiah coming. Now we as New Testament people are so looking forward. We can hardly wait for Jesus to come back. But do you know what else I've heard people say as they were on their deathbed? They would say, I can't wait to go be with Jesus. And that's biblical too. St. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die is even better. We look forward to those things. We can't wait for that. We can't wait for the second coming of Jesus. But for now, in this day, rejoice in every day of season of life that you're in, knowing indeed that God is present, that he restores, that he loves, that he forgives, that he consoles and comforts. He says, come to me, come to me, come to me. Stop. You're good. Take your hand off the wheel. What would your life look like if instead of saying, I can't wait for tomorrow, you celebrated this day instead? What would your life look like if instead of saying, I'm dreaming about tomorrow, you would say, I'm rejoicing in the present? What would your life look like if instead of saying, I'm seeking God's guidance for the future, you said, I'm looking for God's wisdom today? Your life would look a lot different. The peace of God would reign. The comfort and consolation that only God can give would take control. I challenge every one of you here today to live each day as if it's the last day on planet Earth. I challenge every one of you here today to say, indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I challenge every one of you that in this particular season of life, you would thank God for his blessings and see his guiding and sustaining hand. I would encourage you today to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will praise him with my lips, thank him with my heart, and honor him with my life. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.